so that do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So Heavenly Father, we just ask that blessing upon everyone, that we would all have a desire to grow in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name. How's everybody doing tonight? I have these scarab beetles in my stomach right now, so please. Change. I want you to think about change. I know that it's been a political year of sorts, and that word is probably one you haven't heard enough. Okay? Maybe not. But someone used that as a platform. Unfortunately, didn't tell us whether that change was going to be good or bad. And so change, by definition, doesn't necessarily mean a good change. It could be a bad change. We can turn for the worse. As you hear the term in maybe medical, he's turned for the worse, he's changed. Or for the better. What sits here in this audience right now is pretty much a sample of the world. When you come through the doors, we don't card you. We don't ask you for your born-again Jesus card. So in that sense, I'm going to speak to the body of Christ in one sense, but I'm also going to speak to those who are not, if you happen to be in here. Usually when I get an opportunity to speak, which is rare, I like to usually, since it's usually topical, share basically portions of conversations. And so what I'm going to share tonight a little bit, it's more in a devotional sense. It's really a product of several conversations that I've had with my wife and my beautiful daughter this morning. And it has to do with New Year's resolutions. We're talking about something that's applicable and relevant to where we are at this moment. I know that at least a percentage of us are thinking about change. We're thinking about doing something different tomorrow. But the reality of it all, it is that when you get up tomorrow morning, is it really going to be any different than tonight? Chances are the sun will probably come up the same way it did. The birds will chirp. Your heart will be beating. If you have bills, they'll probably still be there. If you're unemployed, you'll probably still be unemployed. If you have ailments, you'll probably still be sick. Now, I'm not saying that to bum you out. I'm really saying that in a sense just to let you know that chances are things will be exactly the same tomorrow as it will be today. But I don't believe it necessarily has to stay that way. And so we know the scriptures teach that God never changes. He is an absolute in every sense of the word, all the time, every day. We, on the other hand, are pretty much creatures of change. I'm 50-something years old now. I used to be young at one time. And I used to be so skinny that I weighed 140 pounds soaking wet. If I turned sideways and stuck my tongue out, I'd look like a zipper. And I am serious. I had a picture of myself when I was young that you literally could see my entire skeletal structure. So if you can use me for biology class or something, you can put all these little flags on me to identify all the bones. That was me. Now, I'm going to read a definition about New Year's resolutions because I know everybody's going to think about that at least a little bit. Some of us say, I'm not going to make one, but we really are. So if you're lying to yourself, stop. A New Year's resolution is a commitment that an individual makes to a project or the reforming of a habit, often a lifestyle change that is generally interpreted as advantageous. These commitments normally go into effect on the New Year's Day and remain until fulfilled or abandoned. So I like the abandoned part. Now, 5 years ago before I came here, I bought myself a beautiful set of conga drums. You know, ebony. They had beautiful soft strike rims. And, you know, they've been in my room for about 5 years. And every time I pass by them, they say, hit me, strike me, do something. And so I had really great intentions. I really had great intentions of playing those things and learning. Maybe one of these days I could be a pimp and play those. I started martial arts one time. I said, I want to be a black belt. So me and my son went out there, and when I realized it was costing me an arm and a leg, we stopped. I actually started writing a book once. When I was unemployed, I realized I had a lot of time. And so I started writing a book, and guess what? Chapter one's not finished yet. I started school. I went to University of Phoenix. I said, I need a degree. I need something to put up on my wall besides my Raiders parking placard, you know. Raiders parking only. Well, guess what? I didn't finish school. When I turned 40, I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine, and I actually went into depression after that, realizing how many things I had attempted and failed at in my life. And so it's been a sore spot with me for a long time. And so New Year's resolution is a perfect time to talk about that idea. Why do we make resolutions? Why do we make a New Year's resolution? And I argue it's because we're always changing. And we're always thinking that somehow tomorrow is going to be a better day. Somehow I can make a change for the better. We can make those, you know, it's like lose, okay, less weight. How about more money? Make more money. Maybe I can decrease my debt. Buy more toys. You know, a lot of those are like physical. They're temporal. And they have their benefits. I mean, my wife and I are trying to get out of debt. Over the last year and a half, I dug myself a pretty good ditch. And I really want to get out of there. And it's an honorable thing to do. But will it satisfy me? Or it could be spiritual. Read the one-year Bible. Pray more, tithe more, come to church more. But as you make these resolutions, usually they happen to be enumerated. They're quantity based, they're performance based. It's a goal to be set. It's some success to be achieved. And generally speaking, it's external. And for the most part, temporary. And chances are, even if you are successful in making those changes, are you really any better off? Now, change is also affected by other things. It's affected by circumstance. Just, you know, I was telling tell people, the last 5 years for me here have been really exciting. And 3 years into that exciting 5 years, I found myself out of work. And I remember trying to joke about it, because the best thing you can do is joke about it, because if not, you get pretty depressed. But I told my wife, you know what? This is interesting, because this is the only job I've ever been fired from. A pastor job. Now, let that strike your ego for a while. That really got to me. I've only been fired from one job, and I was a pastor. How do you do that? So circumstances change. You know, our economy, I tend to believe that you can see it on the faces of some. Our economy is definitely putting a lot of pressure on a lot of people. One thing about working in a church is that you get to see the effects of those things. As people come and people ask for help. And the church is always a place that people go to. And, you know, I tell my wife that, and I tell others that, we see a lot of tears. Day in and day out, we see a lot of tears. And they're not always from women or from kids. We see grown men hurting in tears, wondering what tomorrow's going to hold for them. And, you know, sometimes people change. Relationships get broken. Marriages, friends go far away. There's many ways that our plans get challenged, either by our own personal inadequacies or incompetence, or by external circumstances like environment and things like that. So chances are, if you're setting a resolution, I'm painting the picture that you're doomed to failure. But that's not really what I want to get you guys. Because I believe there is a way in which we can set a goal that's worthwhile. I was talking to my wife and I said, how can I talk about something that applies to everybody? If I talked about weight, it only applied to some. If I talked about debt, it only applied to some. If I talked about education or any of these factors that I've already mentioned, it would probably only hit a fraction of the congregation. Is there a change? Is there a resolution that we can make that would impact every single one of us? And I think that thought came to me when Matt posed a challenge the last time he spoke up here. And he basically said, how can we shine God's light better next year? How can we be a brighter light for Jesus Christ? And keep in mind, just because the world is getting darker doesn't mean you're getting brighter. Okay? It's not a relative thing. I believe that God wants you to shine brighter whether the rest of the world is getting darker or not, which it is. And chances are the challenges that impact most of us are the same challenges that Job had. Job got attacked in health. Job got attacked in wealth. And Job got attacked in relationships and family. And ultimately, his buddies attacked him spiritually. And so all of us are being attacked or being challenged in one or several of those factors. Pretty much, I believe we pretty much can get everybody in there. So what I want to do tonight is just ask a series of questions. Just throw a couple things out for you guys to really ponder. It's really mostly an introspective thing that I'm trying to do. This is not a Bible teaching. Something to take you into tomorrow. Something to maybe focus your attention on where it should be. On something a little more eternal than today or tomorrow. So, if you do decide to make a change, the first question you have to ask yourself, is that change beneficial or will be detrimental? I know in my heart, I had desires for my wife that she should change in certain ways because I thought, for me, they would be beneficial. Okay? Now, I'll let your imaginations run with that. But the Lord pinned me against the wall one night and said, Victor, okay, here's a couple questions for you. What if I did make those changes? What if I did make them? Would it be beneficial or would it be detrimental? And how would you know? And then the second question, or basically statement, he asked him more like a statement. He says, Victor, what if I never want to change her? What are you going to do? Well, you know, you don't just blow out flipping answers to him. You really think about these things. You don't just blow out anything, right? So Obama, you know, he promises change. Biggest Loser. Have you watched the Biggest Loser program? It's all about change. It's changed my life. Government? The government's trying to bail us out. They're offering change. Now, are those things in and of themselves beneficial or detrimental? Keep in mind, just a thought, okay? Obama is nothing more than a Democratic sinner. Right? George Bush is nothing more than a Republican sinner. The Biggest Loser? Well, he just turns out, or she, turns out to be a skinny sinner. Okay? And you know that the banks that are being bailed out? Well, they just turn out to be a bunch of rich sinners. And you see that evidence is already starting to show its ugly head. These guys are starting to exploit what was intended for good. Here's a scripture I want to read to you. And in your own heart, say to yourself, would this be beneficial for me? Matthew 6:33. Speaking of the things that we need. That's whole chapter 6 speaks of those things that all of us need. In fact, he goes on to say that Gentiles seek all these things. He says, okay, you want to make a New Year's resolution? Here's one for you. And I'm not here to put thoughts in your mind or words in your mouth or give you ideas. Well, maybe be provocative and cause you to think a little bit. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you made that your New Year's resolution. Now notice it doesn't quantify it. you know, go to church more often, read the Bible more often. It just says, seek me. It's a continual thing. And chances are you can make it today, and it'll apply, you know, December 31st of 2009. It's a continual thing. Here's a question I want you to ask yourselves. Okay, what pleases God? What pleases God? If you had to do something that pleased God, what would that be? I think too often, even now, as we're thinking, how can I shine God's light brighter, as Matt challenged us, we're still thinking in a quantitative sense. Well, maybe I should read my Bible more. And you know what? Please do. Please do. But don't be like the Pharisees who study the Scriptures daily, thinking in them to possess eternal life. But they are those who spoke of Him, and they refused to come to Him. And He knew this because they had no love in them. So you can read the Bible more. I used to read the Bible for all the wrong reasons. I used to read the Bible because I wanted to win an argument with my Mormon carpool friend. Until the Lord told me, you don't love Him. And you're reading the Bible for all the wrong reasons. It's about Him. You're not reading the Bible. You're reading about Jesus Christ in the Bible. What pleases God? Psalm 37, 3 and 5. You can turn if you want to. I've got 5 minutes, so I've got to keep going. Psalms 37, 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So when I was unemployed for a year and a half, it became evident to me that it had nothing to do with the economy. And some of you are in that place. And I'm going to challenge you to think about it that way. It probably has nothing to do with your wallet. Has everything to do with trust. Can you trust God when you don't hear Him? I heard Him, and that's what brought me here. I acted on faith, on a word. But then there was a season in which He said nothing. And it required an entirely different kind of faith. But it was a huge lesson for me. Chances are your challenges have a lot more to do with your trust in God than they do with anything in the physical sense. I want you to really think about that, because I believe that's true. So, what brings contentment? Are you content? Think about it. Are you content? If you were, would you be seeking to change anything? You could be, because contentment can be complacency. Complacency is basically being content in a way where, okay, I'm so good where I'm at that I don't think anything needs to change, even if things around you need to change. So that's the danger of being content. It's content not in what you have or don't have. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I've had a lot. And I've had nothing. And in both those cases, the Lord always challenged me, are you content? And you know what? I was a lot more miserable when I had a lot than when I didn't have enough. I can guarantee you that. But why? Because I didn't know how to trust God. And when I didn't have, I absolutely had to trust Him. My life hung on every one of my prayers. It wasn't no longer this cursory thing that I had to do because, after all, I was a Christian. My life hung on my prayers. My wife's life hung on my prayers. What brings lasting change? 1 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient in of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God. Everything about your life has to hang on Him. Your contentment is not based on excess or want. It's not based on a bigger screen TV. It's not based on a finer running car. Those things are nice, and I'm not against them. But if you try to find contentment in them, I guarantee you, you will not. Because even the nicest car is deteriorating every time you start it. So, but God, he says, Paul said, I found that my sufficiency is in Christ. He will provide all your needs beyond what you're able to ask or think, the scriptures say. So, change. New Year's resolutions. Usually they're external, they're material, right? And they're even spiritual. But they don't satisfy in and of themselves, and they don't bring contentment. Only the person of Jesus Christ, seeking Him, His sufficiency, being content in Him. In Him. How do you find out what pleases the Lord? Well, I read you a scripture that spoke a little bit about that. A lot of times when we approach God, we need God on the basis of our need, not on the basis of who He is. I need you because I'm unemployed after all. I need you because I'm sick. I need you because fill in the blank. What about approaching Him simply on the basis of who He is, regardless of your situation? He never changes. He will be there. He's the comforter. He sends the comforter. He sends the helper. He sends the Spirit of truth. So here's my challenge for myself, because this is a product of some conversations I've been having, but they're really soul searching in me. I recently told my wife, I am content. I've had it and I didn't have it. But now I know that the key to both of those is to make sure that my life is centered on Him, that He becomes my sufficiency, that I'm asking Him to be my comforter. I'm asking Him to be my helper. I'm asking Him to be my Spirit of truth. Regardless of whether I have or I'm not. I'm 51 years old. I know most of you guys didn't know that. But here I am. Think about it. Here you are. Has God failed you? Here you are. That tells me that He's taken care of you all along. Regardless. And He's taking care of you even now, because even as you sit, your heart beats and your lungs breathe. Wouldn't it be horrible if you had to remind yourself to breathe? So we're going to take communion. And as you do, Jim's going to play a couple songs. We're going to dim the lights. And I want you, deep in your own souls, in all honesty, ask yourself, what will please my Lord? What can I do tomorrow that will please Him? So I'm going to finish by reading you a prayer. Think and listen to the words. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How can you shine God's light better tomorrow? By walking in a manner worthy of Him, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of Him, it starts there. And then God will move you to make the right changes. He alone knows the priorities in your life. So as we do communion, I want you guys to think. If you can find Jim. Hey Jim, come in. So I'm going to pray for you real quick, and then we're going to dim the lights. The communion, you serve yourselves up here and up here like we do. Jim will play a couple songs and just say, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. Wow. That's my beck and call, to walk in a way that I can always do those things that please the Father. Amen.